Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. An owner of a vineyard went out early in the morning to hire day laborers. At the beginning of each day, you'd take stock of the work you had, then go out and hire people. Well, this owner's had an unexpectedly massive harvest. I mean, he thought he'd hired all the help he needed for that day, but he keeps underestimating things and having to go out and hire more people. I guess the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, the fact that he owns a vineyard says something about him. Vineyards were owned by the wealthiest in society. Wine was a luxury item in great demand, especially among the upper classes. It was also a product that you could export all throughout the Mediterranean world. But you had to have some money to own a vineyard. And that's because vineyards required some investment, especially up front. To convert land into a vineyard, you'd have to wait at least 4 years for the vines to mature before they start bearing fruit. The average farmer couldn't wait that long, and would instead grow figs or grains that the people needed to survive. The wealthy, on the other hand, could just come in and take over the lands of these poor farmers and convert them into vineyards that would eventually bear a much higher rate of financial return. And in all likelihood, some of the workers that day had once owned their own lands, but now were reduced to hoping for a day of work on someone else's land. That was pretty common, unfortunately. Well, as Jesus continues his parable, we learn that this owner had a steward or a manager. Makes you wonder why he doesn't send his manager to go hire the laborers. Why does he get his hands dirty himself? You know, from a first century standpoint, that little detail would have drawn attention to itself. The owners like to insulate themselves from any hostility or resentment by having their managers do all the dirty work. And yet it's that very hostility that the owner will encounter by the end of the parable. Jesus is drawing attention to the owner. Why is he doing that? We're going to have to come back to that. The Roman author Cato explained that landowners liked to hire workers for only a day at a time because that would keep them in the weakest possible bargaining position. There's very high unemployment in the Roman world, and so you could take advantage of these people. In fact, in Jesus' parable, some of these people were so desperate that the owner finds them still lingering later in the day, just hoping, praying for a chance that someone might yet hire them. Well, that morning, when the owner first arrived, he agreed with the first workers to pay them a single denarius for the day's work. And it wasn't particularly generous. It was sort of a standard minimum wage for a day's work. Rabbi Hillel in Jesus' day earned a half a denarius a day, and that left him in utter poverty. And unlike Rabbi Hillel, these guys aren't working every single day of the year. They were seasonal laborers. Off-season, many of them were probably reduced to begging. Now, if they were among the fortunate few to get the full 200 days of seasonal work, well, in that case, they could keep themselves and their families just barely from starving. If you were a day laborer, you could expect 5 to 7 more years of life. Most died of malnutrition or disease. That's pretty common. But there are always plenty of others ready to take their place. See, if you were a day laborer, in many ways, you were worse off than a slave. I mean, a slave was an investment. It required some care and maintenance, but not the temporary help. I mean, you'd overwork your day laborers, you'd abuse them, you could just hire them for a short period of time and never really have to worry about it. A denarius was a standard minimum wage for a day's work, and those workers hired at the beginning of the day jumped at the chance. Well, it turns out, as the day went on, the owner was forced to hire more workers, and eventually it came time to square up. Now, the owner does something at that point that's surprising. See, normally you would pay those who work the longest first, but he doesn't. He ignores them and calls for those who only work for a short time. So the people who worked the whole day got to watch as the owner, right in front of them, paid those who worked only an hour or a couple hours the very same wage he'd promised them. a full denarius. Well, I mean, you can just imagine what's going through their minds. Hey, I labored all day out there for that guy out in the scorching sun. That fellow over there, I mean, he only worked a couple hours, and the owner just paid him a whole denarius. Well, that's what he promised me. I mean, that's not fair. It's like he doesn't value my blood, sweat, and tears. I might as well just showed up an hour ago. This guy's taking all that I have left, my hard work, and he's just dumping on it. I mean, it was a scandalous scene. I mean, they may have been among the expendables of their world, but the owner was making all their hard work seem almost worthless. I mean, it seemed like an insult. And so, of course, they react and complain. Well, the owner turns to one of the fellows who had been hired first, one of the guys who complained. He calls him friend. It's not the usual term. I mean, he uses a word that's courteous, but does remind the worker of his lower social status. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. But didn't you agree with me on a denarius? Now take what's yours and go. You know, I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have a right to do what I want with what is mine? Or are you jealous because I'm generous? In other words, be thankful for your pay. You're being treated fairly. And don't forget that you agreed to these wages. Now, many people, even a lot of pastors, will read this parable and think that this is all about how scandalous God's grace can be. The owner graciously pays those who worked a short time a generous wage. You hear that all the time. But no, this parable is not ultimately about God's grace. I mean, each one of those workers put time in working that vineyard, and they were being paid for their labor. They earned that money. Now, certainly they were blessed to find employment that day. To be employed in the vineyard is certainly to enjoy God's blessing, but that's not the point of the parable. The point is that the owner chose to pay the workers the same wage. And that causes those who work the longest and the hardest to feel slighted. Now, when the master calls those who worked all day jealous, he speaks literally of their evil eye. Do I have a right to do what I want with what is mine? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Now, we need a little background here about the evil eye. Evil eyes were associated in the ancient world with greed, with envy. In the Dead Sea Scrolls from Jesus' day, do not entrust your wealth to a man with an evil eye. Or for that matter, in the book of Proverbs, a person with an evil eye is in a hurry to get rich. A person with a good eye in their hand gives all his money to the poor. Well, the workers hired at the beginning of the day are envious of what the owner is paying the others for their few hours of work. But there's more to Jesus' parable. And you remember how Jesus almost completely ignored the middleman, the manager, and say he drew attention to the owner? Well, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were God's vineyard. Makes you wonder, doesn't it, if the vineyard owner is a stand-in for God? I mean, wasn't God the one who owned the land in the Old Testament? The people may work and enjoy the land, but in the end, it really belongs to God. Well, here's another clue that we're on the right track. The owner in the parable asks the disgruntled workers, is your eye evil because I am good? Well, just a few verses earlier before our parable, Jesus asked the man, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, God. This parable is about what God is doing, and that's why Jesus draws attention to the owner. Jesus just told a rich man that if he wanted to be good like God is good, that he should go sell everything that he owns and give it all to the poor. God would like us to share our wealth with those in our midst who are in need. And isn't that exactly what our owner is doing with those who hadn't worked the full day. He's paying them a generous wage. And it's also a wage that those people needed to survive. Otherwise, they weren't going to make it. It was literally their daily bread. Now, keep in mind that Jesus is speaking to disciples at this point. This is about people who work in the kingdom. This is about believers. Well, right after the parable, as if on cue, James and John's mother apparently didn't get the point. She goes right up and asks Jesus that her sons might have seats of honor and privilege at his right and left-hand side in glory. And Jesus has to remind the two brothers that those who are the greatest must become the least, must serve others. Just like those who slaved the entire day in the vineyard, just like Jesus required a rich man to give it all up for the sake of the kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom belongs not to self-important adults, but to little children. It's not for us to complain. You know, disciples point out to Jesus, they left everything to follow him. They'd effectively been laboring all day. What will there be for us? What will our reward be? And that's when Jesus offered this parable. You want a reward? Be warned. This is not about who worked the longest or the hardest for the sake of the kingdom. This is a warning against envy. The minute we begin to compare ourselves with others, we're falling in a trap. This is not about others. This is about your relationship relative to a good owner, to God. The minute we start questioning our wages or our blessings, we've taken upon ourselves to judge God, and we're judging God on the basis of our own human values and standards. See, we think that those who work less should be paid less. We judge people by their level of accomplishment. And we forget that our wages were agreed upon at the very beginning. And they're fair wages. They're sufficient for us to survive in the kingdom. Who are we to question what God chooses to pay another? Now, some people in our midst here at St. Timothy are blessed with great wealth and prosperity. Others are struggling to make their ends meet and may worry about the next day or their next meal. We have inequities in our midst, even as we're seeking to serve the Lord together. Some serve the Lord publicly in high-profile roles. Others serve hidden and behind the scenes. But we dare never cast a sideways glance to compare ourselves with someone else. As Lutherans admit in How They Number the Commandments, this commandment was so important that God gave it twice. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not covet. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. Couldn't be any clearer. You know, there was once this eagle who became envious of a fell eagle who could fly higher and better than he could. So one day the first eagle saw a sportsman with a bow and some arrows and said to the guy, hey, I wish you could shoot down that eagle up there. The man said, sure, he'd be glad to if he just had some feathers for his arrows. The jealous eagle pulled a feather out of his own wing. You know, the man fired the arrow, but it didn't quite reach the other bird. It was flying too high. So the jealous eagle pulled out another feather, and then another, until finally he could no longer fly himself. The archer just took advantage of the situation and killed the helpless bird. The only one we hurt by envy and jealousy is ourselves. Jesus' parable is a warning against sin. We don't busy ourselves counting someone else's blessings. That's between them and the Lord. We're thankful for whatever the Lord sees fit to give us. The Lord graciously, pricelessly saved us from the due penalty of our sins. He gave us the certainty of our eternal life, and he chose us to labor in his vineyard. And we know that he will give us our daily bread. So what if God chooses to bless someone else differently? We surrender any sense of jealousy or envy. We surrender any sense of privilege or ranking. As believers in the Lord, we recognize that the first in this world will be the last, and the last will be first. After all, the Lord already took us. We were last, and he made us first when he died for us on the cross. In response, for our parts, we're just grateful for the day of work the Lord's given us to do. At the end of the day, we're not lords. We're not owners. We're just faithful laborers, joyfully doing the good Lord's work. And with that, we're content. Amen.